Jesus loved widows. My friend Jesus lived on this earth, and we only know about 3 years of his life. That's about the only period of his life I know, just a few other times in his life. But you know, the most overlooked people on this earth are widows. And yet you think about my friend Jesus, he was really, really concerned about them. In fact, he stood up for them whenever there were those individuals who were financially trying to steal the houses of those who were widows. Jesus publicly stood before all the people and said that you are stealing the houses from these widows, and that's wrong. And you know the story, do you not? Of the time whenever there was that widow who only had one child, and when that child died, that Jesus went and raised that child so that widow wouldn't be there by herself again. Jesus really, really loved people. Jesus even loved his enemies. I don't know what you'd do if somebody spat in your face. I've got a pretty good idea what I'd do. But whenever they were spitting in the face of Jesus, and when they were lying about Jesus, Jesus just said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I've got a special friend in Jesus. And I hope that my friend Jesus is your friend Jesus also. But Jesus not only loved people, Jesus was the kind of person that showed compassion. The word compassion, the latter part of that has the word passion in it, feelings. And the first part of that word compassion is the word we get, is the beginning of the word common. Jesus was the kind of man that could be with individuals and have the same feelings that they had. When Jesus saw people that were hungry, he was concerned about them. And Jesus was, it was truly amazing. There were those hungry people, and you know the story about how he provided food for all of those people, those multitudes of people that were there. And Jesus had compassion on people who were dishonest. Some of those people there that were there that day, they were only there interested in him because they were interested because he could provide food for them. They were dishonest. And yet Jesus was honest. And he gave food even to those who were dishonest. It's hard to treat your enemies right, isn't it? Jesus had compassion on sick people. You know how in our society, we try to get rid of anybody that's sick. We try to get, we don't want them in our lives, you know. We don't, we do everything we can to not be around them. You understand what I'm talking about? And Jesus is one who touched lepers. Jesus was the kind of person that whenever he saw something it wasn't right, he was filled with compassion toward other people. We live in a day and an age and a time when people are just, they're almost above feelings. But whenever Jesus looked at somebody that was hurting, it made no difference who they were. Jesus looked at them and he saw what they were and he saw that they were hurting, and Jesus did whatever he could to try to dry the tears from their eyes. That's my friend Jesus. And I hope you have a friend named Jesus also. Let me tell you about my friend Jesus. Jesus could take just ordinary things and stories and illustrate unbelievable truths. Simple stories that are filled with unbelievable truths. You know, it's amazing. I just wrote down a list here of some things that he talked about. He talked about people working, and he'd take a story from somebody that was out there working, like the man who went out to sow the seed, and some of the seed fell in one place, and some in another, and some in another. And he'd tell that story, and then when he explained the story, man, oh man, it really had a deep, deep meaning that some people didn't see. You thought when he talked about the seed that fell over there on the path and the seed that fell in the one place and the other and the other, you thought that was just some sort of little story. Oh, it wasn't that way at all. And he could just look at what people were doing, and he'd see a vineyard that was there, and he'd tell a story about a vineyard. And all of a sudden, as you listen to that story, it had far deeper meaning than any of those things. Jesus could talk about fishing. My friend, Jesus could just take things that are out here about men who would cast a net out into the sea, and the good fish would come in and the bad fish would come in. And Jesus would tell that story about the net being cast out there. And it was a simple story, and yet it's just filled with meaning. You know, my friend Jesus could just take simple things and really make them come alive as he would talk about them. He talked about families. He knew a lot about weddings. I don't know how many he went to. I know for sure one wedding that he went to. Something happened there, and you may remember that story about what happened at that wedding. But Jesus talked about weddings. And the story of the bridegroom that was going to come, and he was late coming, you know, and some people were ready when he came and others were not ready. And it wasn't really a story about a wedding at all, but it was a story about something that could have happened. And then all of a sudden, he would talk about that, and it had such deep, deep meaning. In fact, anyone can, you know, with a lot of education, can talk using big words and talk above everybody's head, and everybody walks away thinking about what an intellectual that person is. But it takes a really, really special person who is brilliant beyond measure, who can take unbelievable truths and take them and put them down in stories so that even a child would understand it. Jesus talked about life. Jesus told stories about people that lost money and people that lost sheep. And he told the story of that father whose son came and took the inheritance and went away with it. Jesus could just take simple things and teach profound truths. I wish I knew some of the other stories he might have told. I wish I knew some of the other things that he might have said. But you know, he said so much and did so much that if you wrote down everything that he did, the world wouldn't hold all the books it would take to write down everything that he said. But my friend Jesus would take things like salt and light and mustard seed and money. Wages that were given to men that were working in a field, or coins that were lost, or the talents, those measures of gold or silver that were given. And Jesus could just tell stories about all of these things. My friend Jesus was a man that you'd just love to be around, just hear him tell these stories. I hope my friend Jesus is your friend. Let me tell you about my friend Jesus. My friend Jesus knows God, and he tells me about him. Who do you know that's important? Well, I once was at a meeting and I met one of the astronauts, somebody says. Or I once met, the president of a big corporation. You know who my friend knows? My friend Jesus knows the Creator of the world. That's pretty amazing. And my friend Jesus tells me about Him. First of all, He tells me He's like a father. And that the Creator of the world, the God of heaven, wants me to think about not His unbelievable power, but to think about Him as a father and to talk to Him by saying, "Our Father in heaven." You know what Jesus tells me about God? Is that God hears. Hears every word that any man says, every idle word men speak. But on the positive side, that individual who gives a cup of cold water to somebody that's thirsty, God sees that and God remembers that. Sometimes as you think about how far the sun is from the earth and the nearest star and how many light years away that is and how big the Milky Way galaxy is and how the Milky Way galaxy of which we're a part is just one of billions and billions and billions of galaxies, and that there may be planets orbiting around so many of these stars that are there, and you think about the vastness of the universe. But you know, if I'm in my closet praying, Jesus said, God hears me. And when I cry out to Him from my bed at night because my heart is broken, my friend Jesus says, God hears that. In fact, my friend Jesus, who knows God, said that there's not even a bird that falls to the ground that God's not aware of. I don't know if when you were a child you found a little bird that had fallen out of a nest. I don't know if that only happens around where I grew up or not, but every now and then some member of our family would find a little bird that had fallen out and couldn't find the nest or anything. We'd bring the bird in and try to tell my mom that we got to save this bird's life. And so we would take a little shoebox and put some sort of cotton in it and try to make something that sort of looked like a nest. And then mom would tell us, you got to find out what they eat, and we'd go get that World Book Encyclopedia or some the equivalent of it and look it up. And I did all right until I read about that mama bird eating that worm and then giving it, regurgitating, that's a nice word, puking it up, and so that little bird can have it. You know what Jesus said? That whenever that bird fell off that tree, fell out of that nest, God was aware of it. You see, my friend Jesus knows God, and my friend Jesus has told me about God. And I hope if you know Jesus, I hope that you'll listen to what He says about God. He talks about how fair God is. Even on the wicked people, He makes the rain come and lets the sun shine on wicked people. We kind of look at other people, and if they're hurting, we're sort of glad if we don't like them. Well, they deserve what they're getting. Guy passes you, go on I-95 home tonight, and he's doing 75, and you're only doing 70. And he cuts you off down on I-95, and the blue light pulls him over. You think, yep, that's pretty good. He got it. You know about Jesus? He's fair even to people And not only does he care about them, but he loves them. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And let me tell you about my friend Jesus, because as Johnny read to us tonight, when they said, "Show us the Father that we may know what the Father is like," Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen what the Father is like." What's the Father like? Oh, he loves people. And the Father is concerned about the sick. He's concerned about the lepers. He's concerned about widows. He's concerned about children. How do I know that? Because my friend Jesus, when you looked at him, you could see what God was exactly like. My friend Jesus. Could I tell you about my friend Jesus? Jesus is forgiving. He's also firm. There are times whenever there's a sternness about my friend Jesus that you can't help but respect and admire. There was that day when he went into the tabernacle, to the temple that was there, and they were misusing and turned that place of prayer into a place of merchandising and evidently dishonesty that is involved in there and all that was going on. And he turns over the tables of those people that are there and drives the people out and drives the animals out. And Jesus stands up in front of religious leaders and talks about all of these things, about their ungodliness. Jesus is firm, but he's forgiving. And so one of Jesus' friends came and said, "Somebody does me wrong. How many times have I got to forgive them? 7 times? The religious leaders of that day, by the way, had said, 3 times. Somebody does you wrong 3 times, 3 strikes and you're out. And so that disciple, Peter, double the number and added 1, and that becomes a perfect Jewish number. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "What about 7 times? And my friend Jesus says, 70 times 7. Jesus is so firm, but he's forgiving. Then I want you to know about my friend Jesus. He's the Son of God. When he lived on this earth, he asked people, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some people thought that he might be John the Baptist, who'd been raised from the dead, or maybe Elijah, maybe Jeremiah. And as marvelous it'd be to be Elijah, who did not die but ascended into heaven in the whirlwind and the chariots of fire. To be Jeremiah, that weeping prophet who stood for truth and righteousness with a heart of compassion. Or to be John the Baptist, the greatest who had ever been born. John was the greatest one that had ever been born. Except he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John. But Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And I want you to know that my friend Jesus is the Son of God. He's God's Son. How do I know that? Well, because of his birth. Joseph wasn't his father. He has a father, but he's a heavenly father. He was born of a virgin. The only time that's ever happened. And Jesus manifested His power over nature. He could stop the storm simply by saying, "Peace, be still." And sickness, every kind of sickness imaginable was brought to Jesus. And Jesus cured everyone, all of the people, every time anybody ever came to Him. Nobody ever went away not being cured. How do I know He's the Son of God? Because the words that He said are the most important words that's ever been uttered. How do I know He's the Son of God? Because when I say 2007 A.D., go back 2007 years ago, and the central man of history is my friend Jesus. But Jesus conquered. The one thing that nobody on this earth has ever conquered, and that is death. There were others who were raised from the dead, but they died again. But Jesus is the only one who mastered death. That's the evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. My friend Jesus is the Son of God. And then finally, I want you to know about my friend Jesus. He's the only hope I have of heaven. But my, what hope. You know what He said? "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again." Where's heaven? How do I get there? And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by Me." And all the hope I have. Sometimes people make promises to you and said, "Well, I'll be there," and then you get and you wait for them, and they never show up. But Jesus says, "If I go away, I will come again." And that's the hope that I have. I want you to have a friend like Jesus. I want you to be His brother. I want you to be His sister. I want you to be a part of the family of God. I want you to understand that it is possible for anybody on this earth to have this same hope. And there are five things that are involved in it. There is faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." There's repentance. A decision that I make to commit my life to Jesus. And there is a confession, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, that I confess that I believe He's the Son of God. And then my sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. Then I become a part of His family, a part of the church, a part of God's kingdom on this earth. And then my friend Jesus says, "You be faithful until the day you die." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. "And I'll give you the crown of life." Aren't you glad that you've got a friend like Jesus? And if Jesus is not your friend, and there are changes you need to make to have Him as your friend, won't you make those changes right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?